you a high performer, obsessed with growth, and looking for an edge? Welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance. Together, we'll discover underground secrets to unlocking the full potential of your mind, body, and spirit. We'll learn from some of the world's leading minds, from ancient wisdom to cutting-edge tools and everything in between. This is your host, Nick Urban. Enjoy the episode. Hello, and welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance with your host, Nick Urban. We're here today with episode 131. And for those of you tuning into video, you might notice that I have a different background behind me. And that is because I am currently on the road traveling. I'm in LA for the conference I mentioned with Dr. Robert D. McDonald. And this episode will be a little bit different because this will be a solo-sode of me answering a listener question I got. And that question is, what is the best way to, quote, biohack your travel and to arrive at your destination fully optimized so you don't lose any time to sickness, to feeling tired or jet lagged, and so that you can just show up and stay healthy while you're traveling? If you want to hear your own question answered on the show, you can go ahead and either record a voice note for me or type out a text message on the MindBody Peak Performance website. At the very bottom, you'll see a banner that says Ask a Podcast Question. You just click that and either record a voice message or type out your question there, and I will feature your question on the show and personally respond to it. So travel has been top of mind for me because I'm currently on the road, as I mentioned, and I'm looking around, seeing all the things that I'm doing on a daily basis to stay optimized. And at the same time, I have a big trip planned from Austin, Texas to India on January 11th. And that looks like that trip will be a couple months long. And it's a quite long flight at about 19 and a half hours long. Now, I personally hate flying. Not that I'm scared of it or anything, but I just can't stand being stationary, sitting in a tiny confined metal tube, flying through the sky for 10 plus hours at a time. So this will be quite a test for me. And at the same time, I want to arrive in India feeling great and really enjoy my time there. So my planning for that trip and specifically how to stay healthy during it will actually begin well in advance. And the first thing that is key is to understand circadian rhythm. Now, I'm currently here in LA, which is only a 2-hour time difference from Austin, but it was right on the heels of daylight savings, so it was basically a 3-hour time difference. And while that's still not quite that much to overcome, that's about the threshold at which I noticed that the optimization practices actually make a difference. So leading up to this trip, and as I will do leading up to India, I will start changing my so-called Zeitgebers, which are the circadian cues that tell your body what time it is and how all your internal clocks align to regulate the normal physiological processes that go on at the same time at every single day. A couple of the biggest ones to focus on improving are going to be light, and then food, and then movement or exercise. So since I was going from Central Time to Pacific Time, and my destination is in an earlier time zone, for LA, 2 days in advance, I started shifting my meal timing and my sleep timing and my workout timings 2 hours earlier than they would usually be. So in order to stay consistent, I would actually shift my timings 2 hours later than I'm used to. So if I normally ate a brunch at 11 a.m. in my Austin time zone, my central time, I would temporarily shift my meal window in Austin from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. That way, I started eating at what would be 11 a.m. in Pacific time. Same with exercise and light exposure and all that. I gradually made that shift. So the more time zones you're changing, the further in advance you want to start this. Since I changed it 2 hours over the span of 2 days, I started with a 1-hour change, and then the second day I did the second hour. And that made it just so much easier and smoother when I landed to quickly adjust and already really be living in the Pacific time zone, even though I live in Central Time. So changing your circadian timings to align with your destination is key and really helps reduce some of that jet lag. I also recognized that when I'm traveling, it's quite hard to stick to stringent routines and regimens and everything. So I gave myself some flexibility and leeway and permission to enjoy while I'm traveling. And that means going up to the travel, it helps me to be a little more strict and stringent on my routines and protocols. That way, it balances the two out. Now, on to the actual logistics. A couple days leading up, I also began using hydrogen therapy or Brown's gas. I preferred Brown's gas because from the research, it seems to be superior. So I would use George Wiseman's AquaCure AC50 machine to inhale Brown's gas. I've recorded two episodes with him about that, so you can check those out to learn more. But molecular hydrogen is the smallest molecule, and it's an extremely powerful, selective antioxidant. So it helps quell and mop up some of the free radical damage that occurs when we're traveling, we're exposed to all kinds of non-native EMFs and everything. And so that is a great way to go in order to get the best benefits, a molecular hydrogen researcher named Tyler LeBaron suggests starting about 2 to 3 days in advance. And I prefer inhalation because it's so much more efficient. 12 seconds of inhalation is the same as your average tablet that you put into water. But when I'm on the road and I'm flying back, I'll actually use those tablets instead, simply because I can't bring that entire machine with me. So either Brown's gas or molecular hydrogen is great before you fly to help prevent some of the damage. I personally like to work out the day before I travel. That way, I don't feel as compelled to get a big workout in when I'm already drained, my body's taxed, and trying to recover. So that helps me. Some people prefer to work out the same day as soon as we land and have a very strenuous workout, but I found that just doesn't work quite as well for me. So that's up to you to figure out what works best for you. Speaking of working out, whenever I travel, I like to bring one of two different fitness modalities with me, basically simulating my entire gym, but in the convenience of a packed bag. The first one are the KAATSU blood flow restriction bands, and I have a podcast recorded with this team about the practical uses of it. And I'm recording another one with this team in 2024 about their new system that I'm excited to test out because it is poised to be a complete game changer and could be the only fitness system you need for most intents and purposes. I also have the Catalyst EMS suit, and that uses electrical impulses to help you build muscle, strength, power, endurance, or even to recover faster. And the whole system only weighs about 3 pounds, and it's pretty easy and effective to use anywhere. I actually was just doing a Catalyst workout in here earlier this morning, and it's unbeatable. Really, you don't need any devices to get your fitness in while you're on the road, but I find these two make it much more efficient and overall effective. I get bored of bodyweight exercises very quick, and I can't build strength or power or endurance the same way with just bodyweight. When I'm flying, I like to wear EMF protective clothing, so I will wear a beanie or some kind of garment. It's not as essential to me because I'm already doing everything I can, putting all the safeguards in place to reduce the harm, such as I will use the Brown's gas or molecular hydrogen I described a minute ago. I will also use a small shot of ketone esters. I like a company called Ketonaid. Their product is the best and most potent that I've come across, and it's also tiny. You only need a little capful. And it also blunts appetite and makes it much easier to avoid those questionable airplane snacks. Vitamin C can also be helpful, and I will take a thieves blend, a germ fighter blend of a bunch of different essential oils. Then I'll take some essential oils. I'll bring oil of oregano with me and possibly a blend called thieves, also called germ fighter, which is a combination of a bunch of different essential oils that helps keep pathogens at bay. I also load up on microalgae, specifically chlorella and spirulina, because those are two of the most powerful real superfoods there are, and they have all kinds of different phytonutrients in them. And if I could only bring one supplement with me to cover my nutrition bases, it would certainly be a 50-50 blend of chlorella spirulina. Not the sexiest, but that stuff is very helpful. If I'm really going to be exposed to a lot, I'll also use another antioxidant called carbon 60 or C60 for short. I did an interview with Chris Burris on this podcast, so you can go back and find that to understand everything it does. but it's basically a super protector for your DNA and for your mitochondria and overall well-being. When I'm flying, I try to maximize between the altitude, the dry air, the jet fumes, and the long list of toxicants and pollutants. I do what I can to give my body the opportunity to regenerate. So that usually entails a longer session of meditation, or if you can, sleep. I prefer to meditate to sleep on planes. And I can't definitively prove that it does anything significant, but I feel calmer and better about my day when I get an extra session in. I usually meditate once in the mornings before I start my day, but on big travel days, I will get a second session in, either on the plane, on the train, in the car if I can, but especially if I'm flying. Because of all the toxicants, the pollutants, the dry air, the non-native EMFs, the chemicals, the jet fumes, all the different assailants that we're exposed to. For the longer flights, I try and break up all of the stagnation, and I try and circulate my lymph and help out my fascia by moving around every once in a while. So although it's a pain, every couple hours, I will get up, I will walk around, I'll do some stretches, some mobilizations, some things to stay loose. And that way, when I get off the plane, I have a lot more energy naturally without having to return to caffeine and stimulants and needing a nap just to recover. Sometimes I get a bit lazy and don't do that. And when I get off the plane, having not done those mobilizations and those movements, however small they are, however infrequent they are, I notice that I don't feel nearly as good. Okay, so once I get off the plane and I'm into my location, I will very quickly try to find an open body of water that I can swim in, or at least a patch of grass or bare earth. And I'll spend a few minutes out there just relaxing. I'm swimming, that's great. Otherwise, just doing some light yoga, some stretches, just some things to open up my body and to take up some space after being contained in a tiny little metal box for so long. Depending on the time when I arrive, I may or may not do a more vigorous workout. If it's within a normal hour, I will eat. If I get in, say, 1 a.m., 2 a.m. in the local time, I will just fast until the next day. As tempting as it is to eat or go out and be exposed to bright lights super late at night, when you arrive, that tends to make things worse and slows down or even hinders your adaptation to the new locale. So that's an overlooked factor that can help adjust to the new time zone faster. Whenever possible, I try to do as much walking when I'm traveling as possible. Whether or not you have gear to do workouts, the very least we can usually do is walk and get exposure to the outdoors, to the sun, moving your body at the same time. There's so many reasons to walk, and it's a great way to take in the city, take in the new area, and understand it kinesthetically. Some of the other things I like to bring with me when I travel include supplements like activated charcoal. That's great for any kind of GI upset, even food poisoning. I've used that to completely get over my food poisoning within a couple hours. I bring digestive and systemic enzymes with me. A two-in-one formula I like is called Bioptimizers Masszymes. And that's great because it helps you unlock a lot of the nutrients within your food when you might not be having the best, highest quality, freshest, most nutrient-dense options. Some of their enzymes also help neutralize the byproducts of seed oils and other things you certainly don't want to be consuming, but are virtually impossible to avoid when you're eating out in most places around the world. I'll bring magnesium because stress and travel and coffee and pretty much every facet of modern living depletes our magnesium levels, and it's one of the few things I take, and I notice a pretty profound difference. The other multi-mineral and trace mineral product I bring with me is Shilajit, and that was called the nectar of the gods and the destroyer of weakness and all kinds of other affectionate nicknames by ancient cultures, simply because this black liquid has all kinds of wonderful properties, and it really acts as the glue on my traveler's diet to make sure I'm getting plenty of the trace minerals, humic acid, fulvic acid, and better absorb and assimilate the things that I eat into my cells, which is ultimately the goal of eating. So it's basically nature's better version of a multi-mineral product, and at the same time, a lot more. The other essential supplement I bring is named ironically, essential amino acids. And amino acids make up the vast majority of the body after water, and they are used like the raw materials to build all the proteins in your body and to carry out basically every function. And it can be difficult to get enough of certain essential amino acids in our diet. So this is a godsend when I'm traveling, especially. I use them every day when I'm home, and they become even more important when I'm on the road. I already mentioned spirulina and chlorella microalgaes, and those are really jam-packed, full of all kinds of nutrients. So between that and the essential amino acids and the shilajit, I have my nutritional bases covered there. Plus, essential amino acids help improve recovery and satiate appetite and reduce muscle breakdown and tissue breakdown when we're on the road without enough calories or without enough high protein foods. I'll also bring vitamin C and melatonin with me. I like liposomal melatonin because it is much longer lasting and quite effective. Same with vitamin C. Liposomal vitamin C lasts quite a bit longer and also seems to be more potent from my experiments with it. And my reason for bringing those is a whole nother topic. It'll take much longer. Melatonin is so much more than a sleep molecule. And I talked about this on a podcast with Dr. John Laurence. So you can look that up and understand some of the many roles of melatonin. On the non-supplement side, I will bring a small portable air filter with me because you never know when you're going to a hotel what the conditions are going to be like. If you'll be situated in a smoky room or a moldy room, or just have other stuff in the air that you don't necessarily want to breathe. And hotels don't always have a bunch of clean rooms available. So, regardless of where I end up, it's great to have one, especially that's small enough that I can fit in my checked bag. I also bring a technology called biogeometry with me, and I plan to have the founders on the podcast soon. But this is essentially a system that uses shape to affect biology and other forms of life. And we've all heard guitars and how different instruments, how the shapes there can completely change the sounds they make. And this is similar. It's considered the universal design language for the human operating system. And I have a lot more to explore there, but it makes the places where I have it feel more like a home. Hard to describe, and again, this requires an entire episode to do it justice, which I'll be recording soon. Oh, and last on the supplement front, I'm a huge proponent of full spectrum hemp, and that's because hemp contains all kinds of different cannabinoids that interact with the body's built-in endocannabinoid system, which is sometimes called the master regulator of regulators, because it's involved in so many different functions. And although CBD is more popular for sleep, that's just one isolate of the entire plant. And it's often synthetic and just doesn't work very well from my experience. But nothing knocks me out like a nice full spectrum hemp. And if I ever feel a bit groggy in the morning, I just go outside, get a few minutes of light, or consume some lemon, and the grogginess goes away. But that's been by far the best way for me to improve my sleep while I'm on the road. So I'm aware that this conversation was very supplement heavy. A lot of different products that I use in terms of supplements, and there are a lot of different lifestyle things too. I don't have time to go into all them right this second, but I will be sharing updates from my trip to India, and I will keep you up to date with what I'm doing. If you have any other questions, feel free to reach out to me on my website at mindbodypeak.com. Drop me a message, or go ahead and click the little banner at the bottom of each page that says, Ask a podcast question. I look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, be an outlier. Thank you for tuning in to this episode. Head over to Apple Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and leave a rating. Every review helps me bring you thought-provoking guests. As always, you can find the show notes for this one at mindbodypeak.com/ and then the number of the episode. There, you can also chat with other peak performers or connect with me directly. The information depicted in this podcast is for information purposes only. Please consult your primary healthcare professional before making any lifestyle changes.